Welcome to Forbes in Middle East, local insights podcast in partnership with GBM, where we discuss the latest trends and insights in technology that can propel your business forward. I'm your host, Sally Musa, and today we're going to be delving into AI-driven banking with Mashup, with a distinguished panel of experts who will be exploring the evolving landscape of AI and its impact on the Middle East. To discuss this and more, I'm pleased to be joined by Osama Al-Samadouni, General Manager of GBM Dubai, Shukri Eid, Vice President and General Manager for IBM Gulf, Levant and Pakistan, and Mohammed Abdel Razak, Chief Information Officer at Mashreq Bank. Welcome to you all.
Thank you.
It is great to have all of you. Osama, I'd love to start with you. Now, AI is really becoming a crucial component of digital transformation across pretty much every sector. In fact, we've just had the announcement in Dubai of 22 chief AI officers coming in across every government department. So how are you seeing the adoption of AI here in the Middle East, and particularly in Dubai?
Really, the adoption of AI around the region has seen some sort of astronomical dimensions in terms of the demand creation for it. Actually, it has been seen by PwC that the contribution of AI into the economy would reach $320 billion by 2030, which is going to be contributing 11% of the GDP of the countries in the Middle East. Adding to this as well, what has been noticed by IDC on MIA, that business is going to be a $6.4 billion by year 2026. If we look a little bit on more details what's happening in the UAE, UAE were the first country to appoint an AI minister and put them in the cabinet. They encourage a lot of private-public partnerships. They have increased the number of labs. We can have the labs in Ministry of Health, and there are labs with MBZ, Mohammed bin Zayed University for AI. And you have seen that there are two LLM models for Arabic language created here in the UAE, namely JAIS with Core 42 and Falcon / Nur, which is done by AI 71. If you look at the amount of discussions we're having with customers around AI, everybody has an agenda on AI. I'm not exaggerating by saying that. So if you're asking me where the demand is going to be realized, I'm saying very soon, because all the discussions right now is around what AI can do for us. We're having a lot of discussions with customers on what are the use cases, what are the benefits and outcomes that can come from those use cases.
And so, Shukri, IBM has really been at the forefront of AI innovation globally. So how are you seeing businesses being transformed by AI, to Osama's point? And what are the kind of challenges that companies are facing in terms of integrating AI technologies?
No, perfect. I think the use of AI in business transformation is absolutely accelerating, as was mentioned earlier. Earlier this year, IBM published our global AI adoption index, in which we found out that we surveyed so many countries around the world, including UAE. In UAE, it was quoted that around 96% already are experimenting with the technology. 65% of all IT professionals in the UAE also saw a massive acceleration of AI adoption within their businesses. And I think that's not surprising. Many of the whether public sector or private sector organizations can see the transformational power of AI, whether meeting and exceeding customer and citizen expectations, meeting regulatory compliance requirements, avoiding costs, generating new capabilities around the productivity, product innovation, and so many others. The challenge, however, is going to be on how can organizations and enterprise environment really be able to utilize such a powerful tool at scale in an institutional way within the enterprise. Because you can't use AI to benefit unless you can trust the outcome, until you can see explainability in the results that the AI models are giving you, unless you have control over the governance of the use of those AI models and the use cases within your organization, unless you can make sense of the cybersecurity and compliance issues that this might expose your organizations to. And that's actually very important. That's going to be a major challenge today, especially with the hype, which helped us at the beginning. A lot of the hype is actually built around the AI models that were designed for consumers. Those are public, those are for, you know, on the internet. The privacy isn't the main concern when you design or use those models. And therefore, beyond that hype, it's a totally different story when you want to actually use that within an enterprise, within the enterprise setup. It's proven today that organizations are going to have to live in a multi-model world. They're not going to use this model or that model. We expect that they are going to use tens, if not hundreds, of different AI models and different use cases within the organization. And therefore, you will need to build capabilities and skills that allow you to understand where those models come from and what was the purpose of creating them and what do they lend themselves to and which use cases and at what cost and so on. Many of those models as well as going to be actually used in an environment where it's not cloud particular. So 40% of AI usage at the moment is going to be in a non-cloud environment. And therefore, you're talking about an increased degree of complexity when we talk about the IT landscape that is resulting from the adoption of AI models, let alone things like cybersecurity considerations and so on. So all those are going to be really critical in the ability of enterprises to move from POCs or a sandbox type of pilot of using an AI to a true institutionalized and enterprise-grade capabilities of AI within the organization. And we'll talk later about why then you will need different set of tools and skills that allow you to manage the return versus risks of introducing such a powerful tool in the enterprise.
You've just really hit on so many important considerations for organizations. And it's one of the things that really strikes me as well is how fast AI is developing, in that as soon as you might implement one aspect of it, like you said, hundreds of AI models, you know, they are updating all the time and we're finding new uses for it all the time. It was just a few short years ago when we were talking about it theoretically, and here it is now, it's transforming every sector. And so to that, Muhammad, if I can come to you now, as the CEO of Mashreq Bank, you have a very unique perspective when it comes to AI and the financial sector there. How is AI being leveraged to really enhance banking services as well as the customer experience?
Yeah. It's being amplified. I would start there because it's not a fresh start. AI has been pretty much used in banking for quite some time, especially around advanced analytics, investment advisory, and much more in terms of productivity. For example, handwritten checks. How can you automate recognition of accuracy, recognition of characters in different formats. This has been in place for quite some time, but there's quite a bit of amplification. I would categorize things in four buckets. So you have revenue growth at the top, you have productivity and efficiencies and effectiveness in staffing, you have regulatory compliance. So let's just start at the top and we'll get to the fourth one. But so in revenue growth, we have investment advisory. For example, you can ingest current media and get to know more about the companies and what they're doing and how then do they qualify for more investment. There's the fourth and most important was the client experience component, right? So on client experience, we've already had automated agents, language recognition, robos in terms of fielding the growing population in the banks. As you know, we're approaching mass banking, financial inclusion, and those cannot keep growing with the people headcount servicing model. And that's where digitization and AI come into play. So on risk, it's a huge factor, especially on regulatory compliance with fraud management, anti-money laundering. Definitely there's a huge play in sharpening and protecting the consumer as well. So we've had AI, and it's only amplifying, it's only becoming more pertinent, and we're on a journey, as Shukri said. There's quite a bit of change that's coming, and from a technology perspective, the load is really happening in the tech department, because we have to foster and develop this for the bank.
It is incredibly exciting to see, because on the one hand, you are getting to scale and democratize banking in a way that is including the unbanked in ways that we haven't seen before. And on the other, as you say, we're looking at things like cybersecurity to really make sure that all of these processes are indeed secure and can be trusted. It is the ultimate thing. And so, Osama, to that, let's talk a little bit about AI implementation, and what are some of the best practices that you have seen from organizations in terms of being able to effectively integrate AI into their processes and operations?
What I always say, if you keep it simple enough, people would follow. So if you first identify what is the objective of doing AI, because we have seen many of the discussions with our customers, we want to do AI because others are doing it. And that would be not really a clear objective that drives the behaviors. So basically, you need to identify what are the objectives. You need to identify what are the use cases that you need to do. And we surely have seen it multiple times, and I believe Mohammed's seen it multiple times as well, when we are trying to do, let us do AI on something, and then we find out that the data that fool up that AI model is not either governed well or not enough to do AIs on them. So data and data formulation, as well as data management procedure, needs to be done in place. And the most important thing is identifying what are the responsible AI aspects of it. Because it's easy to have a model and the model would hallucinate, or the model is biased because what you thought of is actually one view of seeing things. And the third one, which is important, is change management. If you don't have proper communication, continuous communication to the team of what's happening, AI projects may fail. And of course, AI is not something that you can do in a day or two. AI is a long journey. So constituents and executive sponsorship is very important to stay for a very long time. Funding is needed for the AI to work as well. So if we do it very simply, is identifying what the objectives are, identifying what the use cases that is very liable for it to have a business outcome that is satisfying the value story that you're trying to do at the organization, the data management aspect, security aspect, responsible AI aspect, change management, and executive sponsorship. These are, in any successful AI project I've seen, it's not the technology. AI is not the technology. AI is a journey. As Shukri said, it's not one single model. It can go for hundreds of models. So the technology will always bring you tools. But if you don't have the direction, if you don't have the procedure, if you don't have the execution, institutionalized execution of an AI project, you will see a lot of challenges still.
I love that you've just taken us through all of the different levels there. So Shukri, let's dive into that a little bit more, because IBM has been instrumental in really helping businesses to be able to integrate AI into their operations. And so what are the critical steps that you would say that organizations need to take in order to make it effective? And also, how do you measure the success of the implementation?
That's a very good question. I think I'll start with what you mentioned earlier, which is the speed with which AI is really getting integrated into the enterprise. I believe we are all moving into a situation where, whether we like it or not, as organizations, we are either users, creators, or enablers of AI. Many of the AI usage as users is going to be through capabilities that are getting embedded naturally through many of the applications that we use today. If you look at some of the productivity tools, many of them are getting AI capabilities infused in them. So it's not a matter of, am I going to use AI or not? I think many of the organizations are already using AI or not.
Even if you don't know you're using it, you're using it.
Yeah, correct. Because we see it both as individuals and increasingly as organizations. If you use social media today, you are actually using a lot of AI more than you think. And similarly with other productivity stand-up tools, that's going to happen to enterprises as well. I think when we think about a more sort of deliberate use of AI to what Osama was hinting, you need to think about what that strategy needs to prepare you for. And one of the things is about having a strategy that is open, meaning how do I use AI in a way that realizes that many of my use cases are going to outlive the AI models I'm using at the moment. Those are going to be on a maturity level. They're going to go through a life cycle where I'm going to onboard some, I'm going to use them for a while, and then I'm going to decommission them, and I'm going to use others. So that openness within your strategy is very important, whether to the AI model or openness to the different provisioning ways on-prem, on-cloud, and others that you are going to use a mix of that. I think it also needs to be targeted to the specific use cases, and I'll talk more about that. It also needs to be more of trusted, which I said earlier, an enterprise-grade capability of AI. You need to be able to govern it and trust and understand where this has come from, almost like the nutrients, ingredients on an AI model. What was it trained on? What can I expect from it? What it was designed to give me? And I think finally, to get to a point where your strategy is also empowering the user community and the community, you know, in which you are implementing AI capabilities to start doing AI, you know, to start doing things with AI that you probably haven't initially thought of, but within that safe environment. If you think about use cases and an important point that Osama mentioned, some organizations can go with specific use cases where the value or the ROI is more proven and the risk is more controlled, because those are more mature use cases. Mm-hmm. And there are three ones I can talk about within that category. One of them is what we call digital labor, like the examples that Hamid was giving about improving productivity, the speed of accuracy by which our worker or our labor is able to do their work. And that spans from HR processes to so many other things. The other one is about actually IT automation and modernization. The area of code generation is gaining amazing accuracy. A lot of acceptance rate is coming from AI-generated computer code and other areas, for example, like customer experience. In reality, when you talk about the ROI, which is going back to your question, where do we find that? ROI is easier to measure in AI use cases where the processes, the underlying processes and services was already well measured within the organization, because we have a lot of metrics to understand how quickly we are doing them, how accurately are we doing them. And therefore, when you apply AI, you can make an easier comparison of how does that compare to the more traditional way of doing this. So whether it's the strategy, as I said, or picking some of the use cases that can allow you to get more support from multiple stakeholders. Many of the stakeholders who would ask you to use AI, they don't really understand what that entails. So some of those more proven use cases can actually help you bring them up to speed of what it really requires, especially with the point that Osama mentioned around data, which is going to be a major barrier, because I think we're going to see a world where currently a lot of the differentiation is seen in the innovation of the AI models. In an enterprise environment, with time, a lot of differentiation is going to come in the data that this enterprise has rather than the innovation only in the AI models.
Mm-hmm. In terms of what it is that we are getting as an outcome from the AI and the automation and all of these processes that are coming through as well. And so, Mohammed, if I can come back to you, in terms of the banking sector, for you at Mashreq Bank, what are your strategic priorities when it comes to AI, and how are you going to be measuring the success of these initiatives?
Yeah. Let me start with the word strategic versus roadmap, because I think it is changing so fast and we have to be agile and be able to pivot. Because if we take a strategic view, it will expire tomorrow or by the time we finish this session. So the approach we're taking is to set up clear initiatives, and it's like Shukri and Osama have said, along the exact same framework or rails that have to be in place to implement appropriately. So number one, we start with literacy and sponsorship at the MEC, at Mashrab. From CEO down, our CEO has mandated that every business and function establishes its strategic roadmap on how to implement AI. So everybody, and he's put it on the management objectives. So it's not something that is just a dialogue. It's actually something being measured in terms of what are you going to infuse with AI. Okay. The next piece I want to talk about is the word use case versus problem statement. Because AI is a tool. It is not going to resolve a problem by itself. And you can use multiple models or multiple AI models to resolve a business problem. So when we talk about measures, what are our business problems, right, in banking? So you want revenue growth, you want productivity, whether it's in the tech department or whether you want productivity in your own staff, you know, testing quality and time to market. These are all things. Quality of code, security of code, at least from a tech perspective. Now, can you use AI to have better financial planning for the finance department, or better learning in terms of or knowledge management? Very, very important. Can I create a robo or a teacher to welcome new employees and give them their SOPs or their processes and give them the learning? So number one is this literacy, and we have started board down and bottom up in terms of implementation of Copilot, training the people on what is AI, what's generative AI, what are those differences, and how they can use some of those tools. Another work stream will be, or another strategic initiative, if you want to call it that, is the whole governance piece. What is responsible AI? What is ethics? How do we, you know, create the appropriate rails to make the business go out and talk to vendors, partners, and establish the next great tool, let's call it, or great to resolve the problem statements. The measures are very clear. You can grow your revenue, you can have better performing loans, you can lend better in cards, you can look at flood zones and hone in on real estate lending. So there's quite a bit of problem statements that AI will help us resolve. But meanwhile, we need to A, have the sponsorship, B, have the right rails and governance to deploy, C, catalog what we already have, because that's, again, you don't run over the run or run over the walk. You have to catalog what you have, understand the vendor landscape and the partner capabilities, because if you're not careful, this will be very costly and very insecure if you don't do it appropriately. So setting the rails, setting the governance, the processes, the procedures around it, the compute requirements, and then we will go to our partners for those compute requirements to build, whether it's on-premise or cloud-based or open models. We'll have to see depending on the data that's required to run those models. So pretty much it's very, very focused on getting it embedded, getting the problem statements, understanding the demand plan, and then planning how to meet that demand plan.
As you say, it really is going to take buy-in from everybody, not just within the company, your vendors, your clients. Everybody has to be on board on how it's going to work, how it's going to benefit them. And you have to be adaptable to that change as well that is ever changing. And so Osama, collaboration and partnerships between different sectors and building that robust AI ecosystem is really crucial for sustained growth. So talk to us about how you see the role of partnerships and collaborations here in the region.
I believe having this session with one great bank and one great technology company and one very interesting and powerful execution partner on ground is an example of collaboration. But collaboration goes really beyond that. And if we look at what IBM did, for example, with the Mohammed bin Zayed University for AI and the support that they are trying to do with the Ministry of Health and the public-private partnerships that are created, is a form of collaboration at the end. Because one thing that Mohammed said that's very good is, let us identify the objective rather than identify the problem. Because we know the problem exists, but how to approach the problem, how to solve the problem, what are the business outcomes out of it, with a new emergence of tool sets called AI, would require a lot of people to come together. And this is where knowledge sharing is very important in collaboration. That means academia and businesses needs to work together. A government needs to work together with the technology companies in order to have the ethical framework of AI and with all the policies and that needs to be implemented. Partners, subject matter experts needs to work in collaboration, even sharing data between multiple entities. On the back of the announcement that we have yesterday on the 22 chief AI officer in the government of Dubai, I believe data sharing will become a norm, which was not the case as we can see from the past 20 years. People will try to work as well on idea sharing, not only on data sharing. Working together, coming up with a de facto policy that can protect, for example, the data, or how do I make sure I have a secure, back to what Mohammed is saying. We're looking at the cost aspect of doing AI, how we can have a shared investment model that allows people to actually take time shares or take cycle of compute in order to serve their own requirements. Right now, we can see models coming called augmented business models and AI, where somebody is creating an AI model or AI infrastructure, and actually they are lending that infrastructure with the models on it to people who would like to go and augment that business model with their own data. That creates, again, another very new thing. Instead of LLM, people are looking right now at SLM, which is small language model, or CLM, custom language model. It came from actually people sharing ideas on, is what we have is enough? Can we have another approach? And people decided together that they need to come with something that helps them faster to do things. So collaboration is very important. We are very proud that to have a partnership with a technology, setting the pace on AI like IBM. And we are very fortunate to serve large customers who are really efficient in the market like Mushroom.
And so to that, Shukri, I know that you were doing a lot of nodding just there. You, of course, partner with a lot of organizations, government departments as well, to do that. So talk to us a little bit about some of those successful collaborations and how you made them happen.
Sure. I think, like you and I were discussing earlier, when the landscape is changing, you create ecosystems because you can't predict all the skills and capabilities that you need, and you want to be able to rely on partnerships that you have built. And we have many of those in different natures. I'll start with the academia, like Osama mentioned. We have a long-term research project with post-PhD researchers at Mohammed bin Zayed University, working on two quite interesting projects. One of them is actually about geospatial AI models to scan the heat maps of Abu Dhabi to try and battle with climate change and the rise temperature. Others is around the more Arabic dialect recognition, so not the formal Arabic written language, but also recognizing five other Arabic dialects, which is a different angle to large language models. Just last month, we partnered with the Bayfuture Foundation and the Minister of AI on the first global AI prompt challenge, where we use our platform, Watson X AI, in the code challenge for code generation. And we work with so many other organizations, particularly about frameworks related to privacy and policy and ethical AI. We create global alliances from multiple academia organizations, other vendors, and so on, and governments about that. But my best sort of, my favorite type of collaborations is with our partners and our customers when we co-create together. So along with Mohammed and Mashrat Bank and with Osana and GBM, you know, Mashrat is today utilizing our Watson X AI platform to do a lot of the document processing, document analysis, and the banking solutions. And I think that type of co-creation that you have with a leading bank like Mashrat and GBM played a major part in that project. I think we all learn a lot about how to better adopt AI in large organizations like financial services.
And so, as Shukri is speaking there, Mohammed, we'd love to hear from you on Mashrat Bank and the role of partnerships for you at Mashrat Bank and the kind of partnerships and collaborations that you've been involved with. And I know Shukri's highlighted some there.
Yeah. So, again, partnerships are essential. Yeah. Let me be very clear, because they accelerate you, they help deliver. There's a huge war for talent. Where are we going to get all of that talent from? And that is distributed. That talent is distributed. The knowledge is distributed. We need to be able to harness partnerships, especially in literacy programs, for example. So we are heavily working with Microsoft today, as an example, in our literacy programs, in compute requirements, in usage of models that are already there, as we are a tenant on the cloud. Now, in smaller innovations, we also have partners who have been with us, and they've developed over the years in terms of digital and moved into the AI space. Recently, I would say a couple of years back, in, you know, how do you go from just optical character recognition into more sentiment analysis or detection of fraud. So we've been working with these partners, and they've developed certain products that we would love to commercialize ourselves, because so many things come from the IP that we have and the technology understanding and capabilities that are sitting elsewhere. And the best is to bring them together. So we bring our industry experts and co-create something that other banks would require, and we would look at other products that other banks have developed with partners as well. Serving, we talked about financial inclusion in mass. That's a very different model that needs to be catered to. Even partnerships around fintech or distribution of banking services, for example, Iyan Mashrat Neo in Egypt is a banking as a service on the Etisalat app that has reached 30 million subscribers. Now, if we get a banking share, I'm not going to say a wallet share because it's not a wallet, then how do we, you know, that's our distribution. Now we need to find ways with partners and usage of AI to service the mass banking and get robust products fast enough to the market.
It's clear that the possibilities are almost endless, right? And so, Osama, to that, I'd love to ask you, as we wrap up the conversation, an amazing conversation, what's your advice to companies who are just starting their AI journey, and where to begin there?
Well, let me back again to the best of practice, but really, it is sitting between the where do I start and what do I need to do? The most important thing about AI to start with is to create or secure quick wins. It is not by going, changing, or moving mountains. And I will borrow the American phrase of KISS, keep it simple and stupid. Why? Because at the end, you need to get sponsorship support, and you need to get the people to be excited to learn. We can avail all the training programs to everybody, but the whole idea is people need to be excited that they want to learn something. So create a small group of ambassadors, and those ambassadors need to work on a pre-identified objective and use case, secure the stakeholders' support by tackling their pains, plans, aspirations, and challenges, and work with AI as an enabler. So you're creating a value story that whenever you are doing a quick win, it can go and confirm your value story, and then you can maintain the sponsorship support and so on and so forth.
And that's how you build it. And so Shukri, I would love to get your perspective on where you see all of this taking us. Where is AI going to be in the Gulf in 5 years?
I think 5 years is too long to even try and predict something that is moving with this speed. I think we are going to see an explosion when it comes to AI adoption in so many ways around the user, creator, enabler that I talked about. So 5 years is really long time. I think it's going to get to business as usual. We're not going to, in 5 years, be talking about AI as an emerging sort of technology. I think we would have seen it embedded in a lot of processes, a lot of use cases. A lot of people in their day-to-day job will be somehow interacting with AI so naturally and embedded within their work. And I think for that to happen, two thoughts I'd like to share. One of them is we can start with the impactful use cases, but we need to ask and have an answer or a position about some of the difficult questions that might not be so exciting, which is what are we going to do with the data? How are we going to secure this? How are we going to govern and control what we use so it actually can scale and give an impact? The other thought I wanna touch, which is very probably apt for when we talk about five use cases. I think we're gonna start, in 5 years, the question that you've asked, we're gonna move from how are we today adding AI to some of our business processes and business models, I think, to what we call AI first, meaning a whole new generation of business models and businesses that are built from inception on an idea around the capabilities that AI is able to provide. Many of the industries we operate in are adopting business models under what's going to become obsolete assumptions. Those assumptions are going to be rewritten by the capabilities AI offer, and therefore it's going to be extremely exciting. Nonetheless, in this region, with all the innovation and drive that is happening from the top about those new business models that are going to be all at the core designed around AI capabilities, not just adding AI to an existing legacy systems or processes and business models.
Exactly. It's about looking at the infrastructure just from zero and just saying, okay, AI is at the essence now, rather than it's an add-on or an afterthought for others as well. So, Mohammed, your final words for those who are in the banking sector, your peers who are thinking more and more about the impact of AI, what would be your final words for them?
Sponsorship versus fear. Let's start there. I think sponsorship is key, and don't fear the change. Number two, this is not a technology problem, but a business change journey. So let's be inclusive. It's not about just data or cyber. It's about the problem statements, and it's about implementing a new tool that helps us to, the means to a greater business outcome. So those are two very clear things. Literacy is very important. Not everyone's at the same place at all. Choose your partners wisely, because there's a lot of people out there with so many solutions. We are, as CIO, I'm oversubscribed with offers and things, and it's like, you know, you lose your scent at the perfume shop, you know?
Yeah.
You can't smell anymore, so you don't know what's right from wrong with so much oversubscription. And we were on the UBF technology called the United, you know, the Banking Federation, and someone was saying it's like we're driving with the brakes on. I said, that's good as long as you're not, you know, having pile up accidents on the highway, because if you don't get your data right, if you don't get the cyber, if you don't get the governance up front, and if you don't have the right rails, there will be accidents. Right? And you want to evade them. So get your governance straight in line with the appetite.
Yeah.
And don't just follow appetite.
Don't just follow the trends as well, because the trends are just taking over. Like we said, the hype is taking over, but this is not a conversation that is going to end here. I know that we're going to be having a lot more of this, and it's a work in progress. What a fascinating conversation. Thank you all so much for being part of it. It's pretty incredible. I know there's going to be a lot more to come.
Thank you.
And thank you as well for being part of the discussion. Make sure that you do subscribe to the Forbes Middle East channels for more of the Local Insights podcast featuring in-depth conversations with industry leaders. Until next time, I'm Sally Moussa.